Let's get it done. Hello, everyone. I'm Tommy Sotomayor, and this is another episode of One on One. Now, you guys know my upcoming guest, my current guest. He's come on the show several times. I view him as a friend of mine, and we are talking today about, well, a movie that came out. Spike Lee, Jordan Peele got together to do a movie called Black Klansman. And that movie is based upon, very loosely, a real story, and the real story about one man and another man and their interaction. A black man who was an agent who went undercover to expose the Klan in Colorado.
And expose black nationalists.
Yes, and expose black nationalists. So what we're going to do is talk to the man of the hour, who was also a part of this film, but didn't get to put his input into the film. So we're going to give him an opportunity to be able to correct some missteps that were done in the movie, as well as talk to us about several other subjects, including the whole Me Too movement that's going on, health and wellness, current race relations amongst the races in the United States and around the world, and more things like that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring in a man I refer to as my friend again, Dr. David Duke. Dr. Duke, how's it going?
Just fine. And I have a lot of respect for you. I don't agree with necessarily everything you say, as you don't agree with necessarily everything I say, but I respect you. And I think that you're an honest voice for the African-American people and people in general. And I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. And I want every one of you guys to take a listen to what you're about to hear and just have an open mind, because I think that's one of the hardest things in America is that people to have an open mind, because the majority of people are being programmed. And speaking of programming, did you get a chance to see the so-called movie Black Klansman? Have you seen it yet?
I saw most of it from clips that people sent me. I haven't actually been to the theater yet, but I've seen enough of it to know that it's just a pile of manure. There's no relation of what happens in the movie, the main plot, the main theories, the main aspect of the movie. There's no relation of the movie to truth at all in terms of my history or even the Klan group that I represented. Now, I guess I have to start off with that, with a very clean and clear disclaimer in a way. First off, it is true that I was head of a major Klan organization. We had 10,000 members in the 1970s. I was a very young man. But I must make the very clear statement here, which can be proven without any question, that my Klan organization was nonviolent. There was never a single accusation of my group threatening or intimidating or attacking any black person or any minority in this country. I also spoke very respectfully toward minorities. I certainly believe there are differences between races, and I truly believe in true human rights. I believe the best qualified person, whether they're black, white, yellow, whatever, they should be go as far as they're warranted in society on the basis of their merit. At the same time, I know that every people has a pride in their own DNA, their own heritage, their own culture, their own people, mm-hmm. and that black people have every right to have organizations that work for their interests and their traditions and values as we do. I disagree with programs of discrimination against people. There's a lot of poor white people in this country, as are poor blacks. But I like the idea of black people having institutions and organizations that support their values. And my organization was a nonviolent group. We had 10,000 members across America. We had 350 chapters, including one in Colorado Springs, where the movie is loosely based. But the movie has no relation to the truth of the matter. In Colorado Springs, we had a Klan chapter. Many of the people in the Klan chapter were top-notch, very intelligent, and good people. In fact, it's admitted in the book by Stallworth that these people were in NORAD. They were technicians, officers, and enlisted men who had top secret clearances. They had absolutely clean records in every way. They were intelligent. They were operating our missile defense systems in this country and our nuclear defense net in the United States and Colorado. In the movie, of course, there are a bunch of doofuses and a bunch of vicious haters. But the truth is that these were people who wanted to preserve our white heritage and values the same way that there's many black people in America that want to work for the interests of black people. And I think there are blacks that truly believe in human rights, that the best qualified person or the individual who's performing better should go as far as their abilities warrant. I believe in that. I also believe in the idea. I see nothing wrong with blacks having institutions that support their particular heritage, their values, their interests, economically, socially, politically, as I think that's fair for white people. And the idea that blacks have to be around white people to get a good education, to me, is a idea that is negative toward white, toward black people. I think black people have every right to have schools and institutions oriented to their own heritage and promoting their own heroes. And I think this is natural for all people. I believe in the right of all people in the world to be able to honor their ancestors, to honor their heroes of their people, to try to represent and make their children understand their lineage, their traditions, their heritage, and their rights. And I really believe that white people as a group, white Christians and black people, could have really solved a lot of the racial problems in this country many, many years ago, except for the fact that we've had a complete Zionist takeover of our American media, our American academia, our American political process. Zionists completely control the Republicans and the Democrats. They've led us into these insane wars. You know, if we wouldn't have spent $3 trillion in the Iraq war based on lies, we'd had a lot more money for educational programs and a lot more ability to make black lives better in America and white lives better in America. But we've had these communists, and I call them communist Zionists, who run the New York Times and the Washington Post and all these organizations that have made sure that the black people weren't empowered in this country and the white people weren't empowered because they wanted this divide and conquer strategy against us. And I believe that the control of the media has been a horrific force of degradation and degeneration, promoting every sort of negative destruction of the black family and the white family, destruction of a healthy home, destruction and feminism, which has been another institution that they've created and promoted around the world. These Marxist feminists have really damaged, obviously, black people and have damaged white people. And we see this war being waged on males. We see also I believe that black people have been incited against white people and vice versa, in the sense that we all know that there's a struggle going on. But I think there's been one group that's profited from that. And I'll just start off the discussion this way. Hollywood is not so white. It's so Jewish. And the truth is that they want this fighting rather than us to solve problems that we have. They want the whites and blacks to fight, and they're trying to mobilize black people as a force for their communist revolution. They see the black people in America as like a proletarian class to overthrow the system or to control the system, and it's really to control the establishment rather than really solve the problems that black people are really facing and solve the problems that white people are really facing.
Well, a lot of people don't want solutions, to be perfectly honest, because they make money off of the problem. It's almost like a doctor. Does a doctor make more money prescribing you medicine, or does a doctor make more money curing you? The doctor is going to make more money prescribing you medicines that make you okay as long as you make that, as long as you take the medicine, not curing you. There was a tweet that came from you, and I want to read it. And ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of people were saying we were having issues, which is ridiculous, but we recorded on this side, so when it goes back up, we won't have the issues. Whenever you're speaking truth like Dr. Duke or I am speaking, you will find things that happen like that. YouTube will do whatever it has to do, but the great thing is I record everything on my end, but I'm glad that you guys are here and that you heard the majority of that, and now everything is back. There was a tweet that came out from you, and it said, "The whole KKK film is a big lie. Cops infiltrated a Klan chapter. But if the film is true by depicting them as violent, why no arrests, no trials, no grand juries? Why?" Can you tell me, because when I watched the film, they literally made up something, and I didn't know it was, but the young lady I was with said, that doesn't make sense that they did that investigation for that. And it doesn't look like that makes any sense. And I said, I don't think they try to kill some woman who was just the head of a black student union. That makes no sense. Number two, why would that woman be so dumb that she's gotten C4 from these so-called government agents?
Yeah.
But the government never came out and said, well, yes, this C4 is missing. This blown up car never happened. None of this stuff ever happened. Well,
let's just start out with the movie. The movie is all about a supposed plot of this Klan chapter in Colorado Springs mm-hmm. to murder a young, beautiful black woman who's head of the black student union. And that the Klan's making bombs, that they planted a bomb. A bomb blew up. They show white people as the most hateful creatures in the world. Black man, a white husband and wife laying in bed, and they're talking about, oh, we've been dreaming for years about killing the N. I'm not going to use the N word here, because mm-hmm. the media is, if I use the N word, they would act like say like that I'm using the N word. But to kill black people, let's put it that way. And it sounded like they're going on a cruise. Well, we've been dreaming about years of killing the black people, and now it's really happening. How great mm-hmm. it is. This conversation, according to Stallworth's book, never took place. There's no evidence this conversation ever took place. There was no bomb that was ever exploited in Colorado Springs in this year, 78 or 79. There was the main character in the movie was Stallworth, who's supposed to be an infiltrator, but he didn't really infiltrate. He wasn't the guy that joined the chapter. So it wasn't really an infiltration. He talked to me on the phone. Tommy, I talked to you on the phone. I don't think you've joined my, you know, any organization I'm part of. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, but the whole idea of the movie was false. But even in his book, Stallworth's book, which the movie's supposed to be based on, there was no bomb. There was no attempt to kill a black woman. There was no bomb that exploded. In the movie, the black police officer in question, Stallworth, in a very small police department, everybody knew each other, right? And in the movie, they show them knowing each other. Black cops beat them with their billy clubs. But in real life, it never happened. Stallworth was never beaten by white cops with billy clubs. This is a movie that was, you know, meant to accomplish certain political games. I think it was meant to destroy Trump and attack Trump by associating him with a false image of me.
I hated that. Let me ask you something. The part about the America First, I said they're trying to tie that line that you said it back then and he's saying it now. So you tell me, is that true? Is that your line that he adopted, or was that just something the film tried to put two and two together?
That part of it is all true, but that doesn't make Trump a bad guy. I mean, I've been using in my campaigns where I got 2/3 of the white vote for governor and senator. I was in Republican primaries in 1992, and I got significant votes, even though I was outspent much more than, say, Carson was. I got more votes than even Carson got in South Carolina. And I wasn't even in the debates. They didn't allow me in the debates because they don't want people talking about the real rulers of America, the real rulers of the media and our foreign policy and these insane wars and the policies that I think have really damaged both white people in America and black people in America. And I did. My slogan when I ran for president was America First. I've been using that slogan my entire life. Even back in my Klan days, I talked about America First.
Nice.
I used to say a line in a lot of my speeches, which can be proven, and this was admitted by Topher Grace, the guy that played me, that I said, we need to make America great again, and I said that, and we must secure a future for our children in this country. That was one of my lines. I said, build a wall, and I do believe that massive immigration into America has been incredibly damaging for American people, American citizens, which blacks are and white people are in this country. And it's taken, you know, it's in direct competition to young black men and women who need employment and need jobs. And bringing in these people from Mexico is not really helping black people or white people. And I think there's a lot of black people that understand this. And that's one reason why the vote for Donald Trump is increasing. I've been talking about this for years. Because I saw this massive immigration as something that would damage all of us in this country, both blacks and whites. I also believe that the idea of forced integration of education has not been something that's empowered black people. Actually, it's caused a split. It's also caused the black community to lose control over its own interests. Mm-hmm. At one point, the leading black people of intelligence and achievement, they were in the black community because that was the nature of the community. It was kind of a separate community. And so it was their interest to make sure that black kids and their kids, because they lived in the black community, that they weren't victims of drug dealers and drug pushers and violence and criminality. But when they changed the system where the black people could simply escape to the white community, a lot of that responsibility was lost in the black community. Now, other black people talked about this. It's not just David Duke. One of the people who supported me for governor of Louisiana was a very famous icon of the black people, a civil rights icon, actually, which was James Meredith. And James Meredith was the first, you know, black student at Ole Miss. Later, he came to believe that forced integration, rather than black empowerment, was actually not something that helped black people, that actually hurt black people in so many ways. But even more important, I think, is the media in America, which is, again, not controlled by, these are not white Christian people that run Hollywood. And these people have promoted all the impacts, all the criminality and the degeneration. Like, for instance, the control of the music industry in America. Mm-hmm. Professor Griff, as you know, I think you've interviewed Professor Griff before, one of the, mm-hmm. The main spokesmen. He even said there was a big controversy, as you know. In fact, we talked about this a couple of years ago. There was a big controversy where I did a program on my radio show that's definitely being monitored. And I was talking about Nicki Minaj, and I was talking about her Jewish producers and the Jewish music industry, which is controlled by these Zionists and these Jewish people, and how they're promoting with Nicki Minaj's videos every sort of degeneracy among black people. I mean, violence, blood, cocaine. She's got that video, Anaconda and so forth, where she's promoting cocaine and yep. prostitution and violence and killing people and everything like this. This is what's this devastating the black community as much as anything in this country. It's not just even, and I must say it as a white person, and make people understand this, that it's true that black people, black males, are killing a lot of black males in America, obviously. But they're also killing a lot of white males and females in America. It's about half of a lot of the violent crime and murders and rapes are committed cross-racial crimes. So it's a problem for our people and a problem for your people. And I believe that this promotion of this kind of music among black people has been really devastating to the black community. The black community, the black family, was basically intact before this modern destructive Hollywood media. Most black young men grew up with loving, present fathers in America. And they had that influence of a strong male figure in their life who worked hard, produced. And now they're being raised by women who are embedded with this anti-male, and in every way, it's destructive.
And they're being paid by the state. And I think that's one of the biggest issues we have. Ladies and gentlemen, we have my man, Dr. David Duke, on the show, and we're going to ask him as many questions as he allows for the time that we have him. And I want to ask you, you brought up Topher Grace. First off, when I saw the picture, I thought, well, he doesn't look like David Duke when he was younger. And then I saw a picture and I said, well, they actually did a good job of that picture making him look like you. I want to ask you, just as simple as...
Except for the fact he's kind of a cuck in the movie.
Yeah.
Back in those days, I was a very strong man and I had a lot more presence, I think, than he did.
Right. He seemed kind of soft. But I do want to ask you this. What do you think of his portrayal of just you? Talk to him and give him a grade.
Well, and again, the whole movie is so full of contradictions because, for instance, in the trailer, they have me talking to Stallworth. And I think Stallworth called me a couple times on the phone and talked. And I've always talked to anybody that wants to call me. I've been very accessible because I believe my message is very important, not only to white people, but to every people. In fact, I was invited in my Klan days many years ago to speak at black universities, including one of the most famous black and prestigious black universities in America, which is called Dillard University. And they actually invited me to speak to the student body, and they had the whole student body come out in their major auditorium. Over 2,200 students and all the faculty was present. And they wanted to hear me. They wanted to hear a white man who was going to really level with them and tell the truth about what our feelings were on all these subjects. and try to get some dialogue going. And I wanted to hear their issues as well. And they applauded me and they were interested in what I said. And we can't do that these days because I think the media is intentionally trying to stir up hatreds rather than heal relations between us. And we may have a separate destiny or a different destiny, but I think the way that we're going to have black people achieve what they really want, what they really desire for their future and for their people, they've got to be able to decide that. White people have to decide their own. And there's nothing wrong with, I've studied history. As you know, I'm a PhD in history. And I have really studied the entire racial divide in America historically. And the truth is that true black leadership has been denied their natural position of leading the black community over the last 100 years. The most popular, as you know, there's a good black historian and a person that knows black history well knows that the most popular black leader in the history of black people was not even Martin Luther King. It was Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was the first black man to really do his own movement, talk about the idea that black people could have their own society, they should control their own community, that eventually they can have their own nation if they so desire it. Like the person in the movie, Stokely Carmichael was also a black nationalist. And even though, I'm not very appreciative of some of the things Stokely Carmichael says about whites, I think a lot of that is what he gets out of the Jewish community, because that's how the Jewish controllers work. But still, Stokely Carmichael, I didn't consider Stokely Carmichael a threat. I considered Stokely Carmichael a very healthy black person who wanted black people to control themselves and their own communities and honor their own history and heritage and basic values. In fact, when he came to Colorado Springs and other places in the United States of America, he actually was spending a lot of his time in Africa, getting his African roots, so to speak. And he had the promotion of the ideas that black people should control their own destiny and that black people should celebrate their unique expression of humanity. I have no problem with that. And Marcus Garvey was one of those people. And he was very eloquent. He was a brilliant guy. He was a courageous guy. And he was absolutely destroyed by the Jewish establishment. By the way, Malcolm X talked about this. But in Spike Lee's movie about Malcolm X, because he's involved with all these Jewish people, Stepmother's Jewish, by the way, they took out all of Malcolm X's pronouncements about the Jewish control of the black community and exploitation of the black community, about the Jewish role in slavery, for instance, because they were the biggest slave traders.
They took out his thoughts on the Democratic Party as well. They never said that. I never knew what his thoughts were on the Democratic Party until I'd say about 6 years ago. Before
anybody
that,
doubts this, just do a Google. Just do Malcolm X on the Jewish issue, and you'll find that. But that was all taken out because we have a Hollywood media, just like this Black Klansman movie. They put in a Jewish cop, supposedly, who infiltrated the Klan. He was the white guy who infiltrated the Klan. Mm-hmm. And he was being persecuted by these vicious anti-Semitic white people. Well, the truth is, the cop that infiltrated was not Jewish. He wasn't a Jew.
Let's talk about that. That whole scene.
The scriptwriters made a Jewish guy to be like the hero.
The hero. He risked his life to help blacks. And he even said it, because he said the conversation in the movie, and again, I hate their spoiler alert, guys, because I'm going to speak on these things because I have the man who the movie was speaking about right here with me. So he needs to be able to talk about the truth. In the movie, the Jewish cop, they have this discussion, and he says, "Hey, man, you have as much skin in the game as I do." And the Jewish guy is talking about, his experiences. And he says, "I'm putting my life on the line for this and I need to know why." So they made it seem like this guy's putting his life on the line to help the black people. And you're telling me this guy didn't even exist?
Didn't even exist. There was never a Jewish infiltrated. And in fact, that's why I didn't call Stallworth after the movie came out to say, "I really object. I'm worried about how I'm going to be appeared." I knew I'd be appeared, and I knew there was nothing I could do to change that. They never contacted me for my input. Topher Grace even said he wouldn't contact me. And I knew that was going to happen. I called him because I wanted to clarify the fact the book had no mention of any Jews. any investigation. So I called him and asked him specifically, I have a tape of this, a conversation, which I told him I was taping. And in the conversation, he said, no, that's all untrue. There was no Jew who infiltrated the KKK. That was a creation of the Jewish scriptwriters, Wachtel, and Rabinowitz. And this is about black telling black people, you see, the people who are really fighting for you and the Jews are your allies, when the truth is the Jews not any allies of anybody other than the Jewish tribe.
That's really sad, though, because even in the script, the Jewish guy talked about how he loved black people and then started to rattle off all the names of black people he just envies. And I'm like, why are they doing this? And to hear you say this guy didn't even exist, that is pissing me off, to be perfectly honest. I have no other way to say it.
Anti-Semitism didn't exist either. They always create this persecution type system. And look, let's just go into the history a little bit, because I think a lot of your viewers, and this is made, mainly obviously a black audience, but there are white viewers as well. And I'm addressing these questions to you and black people in general and others who are interested in the truth. The people don't even realize this, right? The leading organization, supposed organization for black people in America from 1914 and whenever it was founded, 1912, 1914, was the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. This was the premier black, as promoted by the media, this was the organization that was supposedly speaking for black people. Well, guess what? It was set up by 12 communist Jews and one communist black guy. And the organization was set up by Kivi Kaplan, Arthur Spingarn, Noel Spingarn, and even up to the 1970s, always had a Jew in charge of it, who was the president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Now, think about that a second, folks.
We don't have to go back that far, Dr. Duke. We can go right now to Black Lives Matter. Who started it?
Jews. But, it's like, and again, I don't think it's advancing the basic interests of black people. I would love to see black people having more community control in their own areas, because I think they would want enforcement and make sure the drug dealers are off the streets. And by the way, we could suppress the drug trade that enslaves so many black people, so many white people in this country, if we just had the will to do it. But they don't want that. What the people that control this country want, and these Zionists like the New York Times, they want a poverty-stricken, criminally problemed black community, which creates a lot of anger, which creates a lot of protest, and they're using that to get their own people elected into power and into power in America, which are not really solving the problems of white people or black people in America. They want this. So the NAACP from its beginning had Jewish communists, and what they were seeking was a new proletariat. They couldn't get the white working people in America to endorse communism as a labor movement. So what they thought was they take the oppressed minority, and they had a big interest not to relieve the black economic condition or make it better for black people. They wanted the black people in this country to be angry and poor and drug-filled and all these issues, because that was able to convert the black people into a proletariat, in other words, to a political force that they could direct, so they could have the control and the power in this country. And that's what we had. And that's why they destroyed, again, I know that any black person who's very aware of black history knows that Marcus Garvey was one of your greatest leaders ever in the history of this country. Well, who destroyed Marcus Garvey? The prosecutor who tried to prosecute Marcus Garvey because the Blue Star Line, which he was raising money on for black people, the black people wanted to create their own society, their own nation, totally under their control with no white people above them. They wanted to attack him. They prosecuted him. It was a Jewish prosecutor, and it was a Jewish judge. And Marcus Garvey wrote about this. So they did not want black people to be nationalists. They did not want black people to try to do things that really encouraged and strengthened the black community. They wanted the black people to be poor, criminal, drug-filled, and angry.
And dependent upon the state. dependent upon the state. See, when you can create a group of people who aren't dependent upon the state, number one, you usually have to start with a family. So you destroy the family and you make the mother, which is the easiest thing to do, which a lot of times when you colonize, you do it. You remove the man and you overtake the woman and leave her dependent upon you. And she will cling to whoever has the power. And that's what the government has done. I want to ask you something that I've seen
Just go back. One thing, just go back to the original facts. All right. Mm-hmm. Before all this, quote, civil rights revolution and the so-called war on poverty, which obviously didn't solve the problems of poverty by any means. All right. 80% of black people were born in a family, a marriage, men and women. So the average young black male and female, they grew up with a loving, present father. All right. That was totally destroyed. And one reason it was destroyed because black women no longer had to depend on the sustenance. And this is the same thing. It's affected the white family, too. Don't get me wrong. It's damaged white people terribly. Black women didn't need to rely on black men anymore because they now had the state with this massive welfare system giving the housing, giving the food stamps, and they didn't have to. They didn't need black men anymore. Black men became superfluous, right? Mm-hmm. And as a result, what happened to the black community? Well, the crime rates went up exponentially. The drug usage went up exponentially because we know that strong families have a lot to do with the well-being of people, whether they're black, white, yellow, or whatever. And they purposely destroyed that. They also had a media and a very strongly aimed media. I've talked to some black people themselves, by the way. And they, for instance, a good example, one of the black leaders, I can't think of his name. I wish my friend Dr. Patrick Slattery is with me today. But I remember one black person, in fact, I think it was one of the rappers. He said, I grew up watching these Superfly movies where these black people were becoming rich, you know, and all the women they wanted and all this by doing drugs and selling drugs, right? And he said, I thought this was the way, right, to empowerment. Because that's what I was taught by the film industry. It wasn't about education. It's just like, too, they tell young black guys today, well, the only thing that matters is athletics, you know, football, basketball. But a tiny, tiny percentage of black people, or white people, for that matter, are ever going to be to that elite level that they're going to make a good living off of athletes, a tiny percentage. So the rest of the black population is not going to be doing the things they need to do, like, you know, studying hard and working hard and getting educated and also living a life of and not getting involved with the law. What's the percentage of black people in prison today or been in prison today? It's almost one third to one half. It's astronomical. Mm-hmm. And so the values, the moral values that Hollywood has presented again and again, let's make it clear. Hollywood is not run by white Christians, the same white Christians that dominated our morality for years, because white Christians believe in the family. All right. They believe in the institution of marriage. They believe in the idea that a kid needs a mother and father present. The white Christians are not in favor of transgenderism. They don't want some transgender F-A-G-G-O-T going to a third grade school, you know, this male and reading them stories and giving an example for young black people or white people
to follow. Like what they were doing in North Carolina, saying that those kids get to choose what bathroom they can go in. That's creating confusion. Now you got your little girl going to a middle school where a so-called boy can just declare he's a girl, and he's now getting a chance to walk into that bathroom. And it was such a big deal that the NBA took away the All-Star game from the Charlotte Hornets simply because they wouldn't enact that bill in Charlotte, that it would allow this. And that's crazy that you'd put that kind of pressure, not on adults, children. Those were children they were trying to allow boys to just walk in the bathroom with girls. But I got to ask you this.
Sure.
About George Soros. You are considered a bad person, but for some reason, Mr. Bird wasn't considered a bad person when Hillary Clinton was kissing him. Don't understand, because you was a part of the Klan as well. But I guess once you jump to the Democratic side, you whitewash your background.
Right. Once you jump to the Jewish agenda, right, and you defend the state of Israel like everybody in Congress does, once you jump to that agenda, you're okay. So what is it? Is it my background? Look, all right, I've been out of the Klan 40 years, okay? The Klan I was in, and again, people I understand that there were people who called themselves Klan who committed violence and did some pretty terrible things against individual black people. No question about it. I also know that the government was sponsoring a lot of that. Even Boots Riley, who criticized the movie, was pointing out that COINTELPRO was actually government infiltrators of the Klan, like in Mississippi, the people who shot Violet Luuzzo, right? The white woman that came down and was part of the Freedom Riders. The guy that shot him was actually a paid government informant, an FBI agent. That's the one who shot that woman. And he was never prosecuted, by the way. And he was also behind the bombing of the church in Birmingham, which is a terrible thing. Now, a lot of black people, and I don't blame them, white people too, they think of the Klan like one organization. The Klan was like a social movement. It was like the Scottish Klans. Every Scottish Klan was different during the time that they were fighting, like the British control of Scotland. Mm-hmm. The Klan was a social movement. There were nonviolent Klans, and maybe there were some that were more violent. I tried to create a new Klan, political, nonviolent. I always condemn violence, as you know. And not a single member of my group was ever even accused. Nobody was ever accused of any violence in Colorado Springs. It's all made up. There was no bomb. There was none of this was true. The conversation at the end of the movie where Stallworth calls me up and calls me all these names like the big comeuppance, that conversation never happened. It's not even in his book.
Well, the conversation was stupid.
Stupid and bad and ridiculous are not even in the book.
The conversation in the movie made no sense because I said, well, if, and this is what I said. I said, well, if David Duke and the Klan were so violent, why would this man who in the movie, they already showed that one of the Klansmen found his house, knew exactly where he lived after embarrassing them like that. And all these people getting arrested for trying to blow up this stuff. He's going to now call him and say, like, the movie premise was stupid. He used the same voice as he did on the phone when he was so-called protecting you. Did that happen where he was protecting you?
Well, you know what? Apparently he says that he was one of the things that's been a long time ago. It's 40 years ago, you know, but the whole story about the picture, I don't believe that story. He would kind of in the movie puts his arms around me or whatever, because here's the deal. He said he kept this picture for years and all, but some reason that picture was lost, right? All this stuff, you know, they had supposedly had tapes with me using the N-word. I didn't use that. Where are the tapes? Yep. And you would think the guy, you know, because he took all the records, you think he wouldn't have copied the tapes for his purpose. And then he writes his book years after, right? And again, that's his presentation. It's his view of everything. But even the book, the movie has no real relation with the book. And here's another interesting point that Boots Riley also brought up, you know, who's more of a Marxist, actually. But he points out that in the movie, right, that Stallworth also infiltrated black organizations and communist organizations. Mm-hmm. And that COINTELPRO, which was the government intelligence operation, which was trying to sponsor Klan violence against blacks and trying to sponsor black violence against whites. You see, they had an interest in doing this in the 1960s to promote their social agenda.
Yep.
They really had an interest. And there's huge evidence. This is testimony in the United States. This sounds crazy to people. But again, there's no doubt about the fact that the government infiltrators were trying to create violence. And what happened in Colorado Springs and in my Klan group, and again, people don't know this, but he actually prints a copy of the oath we took at that time in his book. And guess what the oath says? Okay, the oath goes to when a Klansman sworn into the organization, they swear to defend Western Christian civilization. They swear to defend the Constitution of the United States. They swear to defend the white people and white heritage, white culture. They swear to be fraternal and support every other member and support their families if they're in need, right? These are solemn oaths. The next thing that they swore with, along with their fidelity, along with their devotion to the Constitution of the United States, along with the devotion to the Christian faith, the next thing they swore, and every Klansman swore, he swore, we raised our hands in solemn oath and said we would not conspire to commit any act of violence against anyone.
Wow.
That was part of our sacred oath, along with our fidelity and our loyalty to each other. That's not mentioned in the movie, right? And I believe that it could be that Stallworth, or certainly the government, I think he may have been involved in the COINTELPRO because he was working with the government a bit on a bunch of projects, and he was trying to get the Klan's people in Colorado Springs to commit violence against people like Stokely Carmichael or Blacks. They were trying to do that. They couldn't get those guys to do that.
Well, we got to keep reminding people, because this is the part that's sticking in my craw, and I'm going to remind people of this probably throughout the show.
Yep.
No one was arrested. No one was hurt. And when it was brought to his attention, and I want you guys to hear what Ron Stallworth said in response to Dr. David Duke's assertion and fact that no violent act was taking place during his so-called infiltration. Nobody was arrested. None of this. Let me let you guys hear this and tell me if this isn't deflection. Okay. Stallworth said people have often asked him why no arrests were made. And this is what he said. That was always a bone of contention, he said. Around law enforcement circles and amongst people like David Duke who try to downplay it, nobody was arrested for a criminal offense. But Stallworth said he was conducting an intelligence investigation. From an intelligence standpoint, they were successful. No cross burnings happened in 7.5 months during the investigation. There was not because I was invited to participate in the cross burnings. When Stallworth got a tip, the police department would send police cars to the location of the planned cross burnings. They talked about bombing the two gay bars, Stallworth said, but they didn't. We stopped two Klansmen whose job in the military was to deal with explosive from carrying out a bomb threat. They talked about stealing automatic weapons from Fort Carson Army Base to stock in preparation for a race war. We gained valuable intelligence. Okay, I'm sorry, Dr. Duke. That sounds stupid.
If that was true, those people would have been arrested.
Right!
They would have been prosecuted. And they would go to school. It's called a conspiracy to commit violence to violate civil rights. And so that never happened. In fact, even the police department itself, after all this time, and after all the events, even in the movie, the police department says, well, this is disbanded because there's no threat. You know, and if there was actually a bomb that went off and actually an attempt to try to kill this woman, this is called conspiracy. And a number of people of so-called Klan groups in the South went to prison for that. You know, federal investigation, it's called conspiracy. And it's a very serious offense. And conspiracy is one of the easiest crimes to prove, because all you got to do is say there was a conversation. You don't have, because also hearsay evidence is allowed in the conspiracy trial, where it's not allowed in a typical criminal case. In other words, you can't say that if somebody said that they heard this, and that's all Stallworth is doing. And by the way, there's a very big difference between a cross-lighting. We had cross-lighting ceremonies on private land. It was not meant to intimidate anybody. It was all by ourselves out in the country, all across the South, across the North and West. That was nothing illegal, right? This was not a cross-lighting that was meant to intimidate anybody or try to scare a black person or, you know, this cross-lighting was part of the symbology of organization. It was the same symbol that the Scottish clans in resisting British tyranny back hundreds of years ago that they used as their symbol. It was actually a lighting of the cross, the Christian cross. So, yeah, if someone lights a cross on someone's lawn to intimidate them, that is a conspiracy to deny civil rights. It's punishable by up to 20 years in penitentiary, and there are some Klansmen of different groups, not my group, that went to jail for that. I left
when they did it. What did they do it for? Like, was it that was obvious intimidation when it was done in someone's yard? Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, some people did it, but I think that was just, and often this was actually the product of the infiltrators of the government.
That's what I was about to ask you. How many times do you believe, honestly, out of all the times, let's see if we can throw a percentage out there, and I know this is not scientific, but we're going to ask a man who was involved in it. Out of all the ones that you've seen happen, especially the ones that were highly publicized, how many do you believe were COINTELPRO?
I think the biggest events and the most horrific events that got the most publicity in America were COINTELPRO. This was revealed by the United States Congress in their investigations of COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO went on against the Klan. It also went on against the radical left. And I think that the government wanted the two to fight. Now, here's what I think happened in Colorado Springs. So here's these Klan people, and these were top-notch people. These were not a bunch of doofuses, you know, like they're portrayed in the movie. They were people in the military. They were technically savvy. They absolutely were had clean records. In fact, they had top secret clearances, and they were trying to get them to initiate the infiltration. I think was trying to get them to do violence against some of the black nationalist movements, which, by the way, we've always kind of supported in a mild way. I don't like all the rhetoric of Farrakhan, but I respect Farrakhan. Farrakhan has been a great force for the restoration of the black family. The people that are members of Farrakhan's group, they absolutely respect marriage. They want black men to be there with their sons and daughters. They are anti-drug, just like Malcolm X was converted out of drugs by the black Muslim movement, right? Black nationalism. They want a healthy society. And by the way, it's far less likely for a black person that's involved in Farrakhan's group to be raping, you know, white people or attacking white people or robbing white people or murdering white people or involved in this stuff than blacks not involved. So even though I don't like some of the rhetoric of Farrakhan, I understand some of the anger they have against white people. Blacks were removed from their homelands in Africa, and there was this period of slavery. But I also know that I also knew who was the real authors of who were the real masters of the slave trade were. And major Jewish histories. I did a program to show you. You're not the first black guy that's ever interviewed me, by the way, as you know. The first black guy that interviewed me was one of the most famous and the groundbreaking black journalist in the country. And he did the program on public television called Black Perspectives in the News. And he invited me to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to be on the show. And he was very respectful, like you are. And he really wanted to find out what we believed. And we got into the whole slave trade issue. And I pointed out that why, as a white person, not only did I disagree with the concept of slavery from a moral sense, I don't believe in people enslaving other people, but I also pointed out that I believe the slave system was not something good for the average white person in America. When you have slaves that you can hire by some rich guy, you know, there's a lot of slaves, you demean the value of labor, right? So when you got a slave that you don't have to pay any salary to control it just by bread and water, food and water, whatever, and support them, you can compete unfairly with people who are really doing work, mm-hmm. whether they're free whites or free blacks. The system of slavery was a great system for some of this elite of some of these plantation owners. It was not a good system for the average white person in America. So I like Thomas Jefferson, even though the institution was kind of embodied in the early part of the country. I don't think the institution, like Thomas Jefferson said, he said that this institution was a great threat to the well-being and the unity and the sense of what America is. And I believe the same thing. And I talked about the Jewish role in the black movement, like I talked about today, the NAACP. Up to the 1960s and 70s, Benjamin Hooks was the president of the NAACP. Most black people didn't even know that, because we have a Zio-controlled media, and white people didn't know it either. They would talk about Roy Wilkins, who was the secretary of the organization. So he's the one that got the publicity. But the real president of the organization, you know, was, in fact, a Jewish guy. It's crazy. But that was the reality of the times. But when a black was finally brought in as president of the organization, guess what? Then it was the president that got all publicity. And the interesting thing is, as well, is that all during this period period of the Jewish domination, the legal aspects of the organization, and there are still controls till to this day, the most powerful part of the NAACP operation is the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. And that is totally run by Jewish, and they're really communists, to tell you the honest to God truth, Greenberg and all these other Jews, and they controlled this, and they controlled the narrative. So black people didn't even control the narrative of their own liberation.
Hey, when I saw it, I was young, and I used to see that a lot of the so-called leaders of the NAACP were mixed guys.
They weren't even mixed. They were the purest race of all. The Jews are like fourth or fifth cousins. There's no race on the planet that is more closely inbred. And closely, you can identify a Jew by the DNA. Now, this is according to New York Times, Nicholas Wade. He said every Jew, whether it's from Russia or Spain or the Middle East, whether they're Mezrahi or Ashkenazi or whether they're Sephardim, they're like fourth or every Jew is practically a fourth or fifth cousin to each other. If you go to the average black man on the street in America, the chance of him meeting another typical black man that he's fourth or fifth cousins is like 100 to 1. Same thing is true about white people. It's 100 to 1 chance that they're fourth. Jews, it's the average Jew is like fourth or fifth cousins to each other.
Wow.
So the real controllers of there's no people on earth that celebrate their genetic, quote, purity or their genetic closeness more than Jews do. Israel is a racial supremacist country. And this is a country that has been founded by the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people and mass murder against the Lebanese people. And they have been the ones behind the rise of ISIS and Al-Qaeda with their allies, the Saudis, who are radical Islamic extremists that have infiltrated into Syria. I've been to Syria, and the Syrian people are some of the best people in the Middle East. They're secular, they're decent. But we have a media that makes them out to be the evil guys. We have a media that makes out the Iranians to be the evil guys. Look, the eight owners of the New York Times, and they have a group called the Class B Stockholders in the New York Times. Now, this is the biggest paper in America, right? The eight owners of the New York Times, I'll give you their names, like if I can remember them with my old memory here. But they are, all right, Daniel Cohen, James Cohen, Susan Dreyfus, Lynn Dolnick, Michael Golden, Eric M. Lax, Susan Sulzberger, and Arthur Sulzberger. All these Jews are parts of Jewish organizations, and many of these organizations campaign against intermarriage of Jews and non-Jews. They try to prevent intermarriage. They support the state of Israel, which is a state that makes sure that you get the right DNA to enter, that is based on the ethnic cleansing of another people, the Palestinian people, from their own land. 600,000 people kicked out of their own country in the last 50, 60 years, that steals their land, that tortures them in the prisons. The other day, they shot down 2,500 Palestinians on the other side of the wall. Imagine if America got on the, any wall or barrier with Mexico and just shot down with high-powered, deadly weapons 2,500 Mexicans who were simply demonstrating on the other side of the border, who had not even penetrated our border. You think the media would have said this is a horrible human rights crime and demanded prosecution of these people and court cases and all that? Of course.
Let me ask you something else then, since you know it. You may know better than me.
Sure.
I've been hearing about the black Israelites and how they've been treated over in Israel, that they've been treated as terrorists. Is that true?
Absolutely. I mean, the Jewish religion, first of all, you have to understand something. The Jewish religion is not just, it's not like Islam is a religion based on your belief in the Quran and the prophets and your beliefs about God. Christianity is open for any sort of conversion of anybody if you believe in Jesus Christ, the salvation of Jesus Christ. Judaism is wholly based on Jews as the chosen of God by lineage. That is the basis of Judaism. And that's what they actually believe, that they are descended from God himself, the protoplasm of God, the genes of God, and that all the other people of the world are inferior to them. Now, I'm not making this up. I know it sounds crazy. You can't make this stuff up. It's too crazy. But the former head, and not very until recently, his son is now the head, the chief Sephardic rabbi, probably the biggest religious authority in Israel, is a guy named Avadia Yosef, was Avadia Yosef, and now his son is there. But he made a national, and this is in the Jewish papers of Israel, but you don't read it in the Jewish-owned papers of America. He stated, and I quote, you can get the translation, you can get it all. He said, the only purpose of 99.9% of the world's population, the non-Jewish population of the world, the only purpose of Gentiles, and we're talking about white Europeans, we're talking about black people from Africa originally, we're talking about Asian people, we're talking about Indian people from the Americas, the only people of all Gentiles, so black people, white people, Asians, the only purpose of these people on earth, and this is his exact words, which anybody can. And you got to ask yourself the question of why you don't know this, because we have a controlled media. Why isn't this in the newspapers and the media of America? He said, quote, the only purpose of Gentiles, the only reason they exist on earth is to serve Jews. to basically be slaves, a slaves or servant to Jews. It said, he said, he went on, he said, quote, Gentiles, and this is by blood and race, this is not by religion, Gentiles were made to dig, to bind, deceive, to work, and Jews were meant to sit as effendi, which means master, like the master over slaves, to sit like an effendi and eat. He goes on to say that we do want Gentiles to have a long life, just as a Jew wants his donkey. So all of us, whether we're black, white, yellow, we're compared to donkeys. This is the chief rabbi of Israel, and Israel is a Jewish state. It's a religious Jewish state. I mean, this is not making it up. I mean, I'm called a racist or an anti-Semite because I expose Jewish racism. And it's not hatred for us to talk about these things. Now, this guy had when he died, I know you're holding your because it's too, it's, you know, if this is not true, then condemn me and say, oh, David Duke's full of hater. Look it up, anybody out there. Listen, all the black people, all the white people, look it up. You can prove this fact, okay? Now, this guy in Israel, you can look up the Jewish newspapers in Israel. When he died, he was the most honored man in the history of Israel. He had the largest funeral in the history of Israel. Every major Jewish politician, religious figure, including Netanyahu and all the rest, went to his funeral to honor him. Now, I don't think you get that kind of funeral of any white person in this country that said, well, the only purpose of black people is to serve white people, or the only purpose of non-white people is to serve white people. I don't support that. I would never support that. I never have supported that. I believe that every people on this earth have a right to really preserve their own unique expression of humanity and be free and independent. The Jews are globalists, and they are literally controlling international media. And what they've done is, the way they've got control over our foreign policy and our government and all these issues is by divide and conquer strategy. For them to control America and get America not to serve the interest of the American people as a whole was to take over from the old American European elite that established our educational systems and our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. And that's exactly what they've done. They now dominate Hollywood, which controls our minds. They dominate music industry, which is full of the degrading and defiling thing. And the Hollywood industry, you know, and I know, I mean, you're a black man, a lot younger than me, but you know that, and you're very hip, because you watch the media, you interview a lot of people on media, and you know that the average movie for young people in America, both blacks and whites, it praises and promotes drug use.
It's drug field, sex field, and violence field.
That's right. And also, not only violence, but it also promotes things like torture. And in fact, it justifies torture. Our ancestors, our European American ancestors, looked at torture like something evil and terrible. And if an American soldier would have captured a British soldier or officer and tortured him, he'd be the first one that we would hang as a violation of the rules of war. This is all true. Every American leader talked against that. But every cop show in America says, if you think somebody's a bad and evil person, you got the right to torture him, right? Push him off the buildings just because you think he's evil. And this is the real source of the violent shootings, I believe, in America. Look, we always had guns in this country. We always had plenty of guns in America. But we didn't have any kids going into schools, blowing away the teachers and blowing away their schoolmates, right? We didn't have that happen in this country. It was so rare. It was just like hound's teeth. I mean, it was just not happening, right? So what's changed? It's the culture that's changed. Because the media basically tells young kids, if you think somebody is evil, and the same problem exists among white people. If white people come to think blacks are evil, then they're more prone to go kill somebody. It's an innocent person. If black people think whites are evil, The idea is in our society and our media today is that, and every white kid, by the way, has, you know, when you were a kid, I'm sure you had friends or not so friends that you really despised because they were like the epitome of evil. They're bullies or they're trying to do something to you or lie about you. The media basically says that if somebody is evil or by your perception they're evil, you've got a right to gouge your eyes out. You've got a right to murder them. You've got a right to do anything to them. That's, I think, the major psychological aspect of this, as well as the drugs that we're giving kids and the drug culture that we're giving kids, that is also bringing out a lot of this this horrible things like what happened in South Florida.
Well, you got to look at it. And I know, and I admitted it earlier, that growing up and even today, whenever you see something happen to whites from blacks, no matter how harsh it is, it's almost justified because of, well, whites enslaved blacks or whatever, like the punishment, whatever the black does, it's almost washed away. When you watch the media, when you watch the news, you rarely hear black man did something to white person. But you will hear if a white person did something to a black person. You will hear openly that that person's white and they did this horrible thing to this black person. And then it will all be put on whites, and whites have to then come out and all uniformly condemn that white person, no matter what the act was. But you don't see blacks come out and uniformly condemn a black person for what they do to a white person. Why is that?
But I tell you why, because that's the programming of the media. And that's an interesting factor. OK, because, look, We're dealing with hardcore truth here, and this is a tough thing for people to put wrap their head around. And I'm going to really ask the black viewers of this program to really think deeply about some of these issues. All right, I think any sort of physical attacks, whether it be rape or murder or assault or robbery or carjacking or whatever, one person against another race, I think that's wrong. And I think it's something that people should be concerned about. It's obviously true. Now, we have the Black Lives Matter movement, which, as you talked about earlier, is dominated by, it was created really by Marxist Jews and others. And the truth is, and this gets really get down to the truth here, if you want to talk about violent activities, in other words, say, it's true, it's obviously true that black women have at times and have been, there have been black victims of white rape or assault or things like that. But the truth is, in America, if you look at the National Crime Survey statistics under Eric Holder, who's a black man, the chance of a white woman being raped by a black male is like 100 times greater than a black woman being raped by a white male, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are thousands of white women a year raped by black males and almost no black females raped by white males. Now, I believe that part of that, the cause for that, and by the way, these statistics have blossomed in the last 30, 40 years since the Second World War, and the Jews have totally taken over and defiled our media. It went from a white Christian kind of value system and a kindness and love kind of value system to this racial incitement theory. I believe a lot of this is because of the fact that the media has incited a lot of young black males and others, and males, of course, are the biggest. 6% of black males commit over half of the murders in America. And by the way, a lot of those murders are black people too. I mean, that, you know, as you know, black people, you know, the idea of Black Lives Matter, where they take 30 or 40 black, most of them criminals with long records of hurting other black people too, being shot by police officers, many of them black, by the way, that this is a this is an incredible, horrible event. That's front page newspapers. There's no front page newspapers of the toll of white people by the thousands in terms who are victims of black criminality. Now, I believe that the reason why this is ballooned up in society is not because black people are just, that's their nature. I believe it's because a lot of blacks have been incited to this. So if a black person fails, you know, but white people are blamed for it, and that's the anger. So the anger and the hatred is being excited. And, of course, the Hollywood media is, you know, think about it. You always talk about white privilege and how Hollywood is so white. Come on, man. In the movie Django, the blacks people are victims of whites, and the hero is said, okay, the black hero, Django, says, man, you mean, are you telling me I get to kill white people and get paid for it? What's not to like? So the intentional spiritual attitude, or the attitude of blacks and whites, is like, well, yeah, white people need to be killed. And the media itself, the New York Times, celebrates the destruction of white people, or the death of white people, or the minoritization of white people in this country. So I believe this is intentional. I don't think the average black person, I don't, you know, Tommy, I don't think that you want to go out and hurt anybody.
And you'd be wrong. No, I was just kidding. How are you just kidding? I agree with you. And if you guys can hold on 1 second, I'm going to stop right there for just a second because we're going to continue to keep going. But I just got to press a button.